Well, good morning. This morning we're celebrating the second Sunday of Advent, and we're going to be celebrating the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is taken from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, in verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now this verse is the conclusion to the greatest ode to love ever penned. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is believed to be by most scholars an ancient Christian hymn that Paul appropriates into his letter, right between chapters 12 and 14, which speak of spiritual gifts, how we're supposed to deal with one another in the Christian life, in agape love, God's love. We have here the three greatest spiritual virtues: faith, hope, and love. But love encapsulates, that is, includes the other two. We read in verse 7 in the same chapter that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So faith and hope are a part of the divine love. In fact, faith and hope are meaningless if we divorce them from God's love, because they are defined by it. Now, if I put my faith in that table, an inanimate object, as so many people do, put their faith in inanimate or animate objects other than the God in heaven. If I put my faith in the table and I put my hope in the table, it's not going to do me any good if those things are divorced from the one who is love, God Himself. We can't go wrong with faith and hope in the living God and His Christ, for God is love. Now, in the sermon this morning, I want to expound upon the reasons why love reigns supreme. First of all, love is timeless. Second of all, God is love. And third, the greatest virtue results in the greatest blessings. First of all, love is timeless. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, that love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, they will vanish away. Thank you. Excuse me. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now the contrast here is between love which never fails and temporary gifts. Love is enduring. Everything else has a beginning and has an end. Prophecies will begin at a certain point in time. They'll end, or better said, they have ended at a certain point in time with the completion of the canon of Scripture. Tongues began at a certain point in time for a specific purpose, and then they ceased. They ceased abruptly, that word means. So they ceased when their purpose was fulfilled, to validate the gospel message. Knowledge, again, will vanish away. There'll be no need for knowledge in the perfect heavenly state. Love existed from eternity past because God has always existed. Love exists now. Why? Because God exists now. Love will exist forever into the future because God will exist forever into the future in heaven. He being eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. One way in which we can be said to be made in the image of God, right? You've read where it is said in the first chapter of Genesis that men and women are made in the image of God. One way in which this occurs is in the fact that we have the capacity to love. In order to do that, God gave us what? Free will. Free will. Because if we don't have free will, we can't love freely. And so this concept of love in the image of God is intertwined in this way. Without free will, of course, we'd be like robots, simply being programmed to do this thing or that. Excuse me, I'm having all kinds of issues today. It's doing fine when you got in. Grab a tissue. And thank you for your patience. Okay. Getting back to the text. Therefore, we are free to love God or to hate Him. He chose to show His love for you by sending His Son, by sending His only begotten Son into the world. That you and I might not what? Perish eternally, but have what? Eternal life, everlasting life. What do you say? Will you respond with thankfulness and love? Or will you hold on to your grudge against God? Maybe you feel He's not fair. Or your pride, because there's something in your life that you don't want to give up. Will you respond with thankfulness and love? Or will you hold out and hate Him? The choice is yours. His hand is stretched out still, not for judgment, but for mercy. Will you take it? Second point, God is love. God is love. The scripture itself says it. In two places, in the first letter to John, chapter 4, it is written, God is love. It is never said that God is faith. It is never said that God is hope, although He offers these things. But it is said that God is love. So where faith must be directed to God, faith is also directed to love personified. If God is love, then the closest we can get to His character is not by being faithful, not by being hopeful, but by being loving after His manner. God's people are known by their love. What fruit is listed first in the fruits of the Spirit passage in Galatians chapter 5? Love. We have the list of the fruits of the Spirit. What do we begin with? We begin with love. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he cannot see? How can that be? This is the whole point of the two greatest commandments that our Lord gives. When he's asked by the scribe, what is the greatest commandment, Jesus? Jesus, give me the greatest commandment written in the law. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your might. And the second is like it. What is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because the second flows from the first. How can we love our neighbor as ourselves? if we don't love God, if we don't have the vertical relationship, how can anything on this earth be right? If we're not right with the Lord, we're not going to be right with other people until we make that peace first. Now, if God is love, then He cannot be capricious or inconsistent. Some people have a God who is disinterested in what's going on in their life. Like, people who look at God as somebody who doesn't care, who just kind of winds up the clock and has put us here and led us to fend for ourselves. Well, this doesn't describe the God that we have. This is not the same God as we find in the Bible, in the Old Testament, or the New. God is near to those who call to Him. He's not indifferent to your trials or your sufferings. Neither is He a doting grandfather who just pats you on the back, no matter what you do. He's not on break. He's not unavailable in your time of need. And He's not too busy for you and for I. Therefore what? Pray. Therefore pray. Try Him in this, and the peace of God which passes understanding will restore your spirit. Philippians 4:7. Now the greatest virtue, which is what? Faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. The greatest virtue results in the greatest blessings. Love involves sacrifice. It costs something. Why do I say this? Because love gives. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That statement made by our Lord was said out of a heart for love. It gives to another. And when we give to another, sometimes that leaves us vulnerable to hurt. It leaves us vulnerable to betrayal, vulnerable to rejection. Can you think of anyone who ever walked this planet who left himself knowingly vulnerable to betrayal and vulnerable to rejection? The very Son of God came down knowing that when He came down, people were going to reject Him. They were going to walk away from Him. They were going to mock Him. They were going to spit in His face. That one of His closest friends who sat at the table with Him, one who would dip the bread in the dish, was going to sell Him out for 30 pieces of silver. For a small amount of money. He was going to sell out His friend and His Lord. So love leaves us vulnerable to betrayal and rejection. And yet consider the divine love. God, having shared so much of Himself through His Word, through the prophets of old, comes down and shares Himself through His Son. He gives time and effort despite setbacks. Of course, humanly speaking, God can't be setback, right? God knows what's going to happen before it happens. But for us, for you, do you continue giving of yourself even in spite of setbacks? Or do you put up walls and say, you know what, I'm not going to bother with those people anymore. They hurt me once, they hurt me twice, and I'm not going to let it happen again. You know, if God did that, we'd be all done. If God said, you know what, they rejected Noah, they rejected Moses, I've had it with those people, I'm not sending my son, I'm keeping him here. Guys, you're on your own. We'd be on our own. No, if God didn't treat us like that, if God offered us such forgiveness, if God offered us to draw the analogy to the merciful, the unmerciful and unforgiving servant. If God forgave us 1,000 talents or $1 billion, how much more should we forgive others who owe us a few bucks or an apology? Can we let it go? Can we let it go? In what more vulnerable way could Emmanuel, God with us, love with us, have come to accomplish his purpose but as a baby? The greatest virtue, God's love, resulted in the greatest blessing of all time to men and women everywhere. And so the challenge goes forth. This Christmas, consider how you too can love others. God's gospel was preached. Where? Where did it begin? God's gospel was preached in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, beginning at Jerusalem, then to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Do likewise. God's gospel of love was preached beginning in Jerusalem. God's gospel of love was preached beginning at home. Where's a good place to show God's love this Christmas? Right in our own household. By giving to others, by offering forgiveness, by stretching out the hand of peace to that parent or child or sibling or cousin or old friend that you've been estranged from. Maybe you've burned them. Maybe they've burned you. No matter. What is Christmas all about if it's not about reconciliation? Isn't that why Christ came? Begin at Jerusalem. Begin in Samaria. Following Jerusalem. Once we make our peace at home and we seek peace and love and testimony amongst those of our own households, it's then and only then that we can go out into the world, into God's household, into the church, into the community, into the city, and offer that love to others as well. Love is not about you and I, but it's about other people. This is the very heart of God. We see this in the Trinity. Love has always had an object. If God the Father was alone in heaven, he would have nobody to love. But yet he loved the Son and loved the Spirit from eternity past, and does so today. Love forgives. If God is love and God forgives, then forgiveness is something that love does. God has forgiven tens and millions, tens of millions of your sins and of mine, freely, without asking for a payback or anything in return, freely. Let us therefore love one another and forgive one another. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love.